panteth after the water brooks. So panteth my soul after thee, O God. When shall I come and appear before him? Father God, we've come to this place thirsting for thee. Quench our need, and let us call this hour blessed. Fill our spirits with thy love, that we may find joy in this place. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. May we worship God with the singing of hymn number 3. May here you find the God who made you, and the Savior who died for you, and the Spirit who keeps you. Some of you may not know me. I'm Jim Blackmore, one of those kind of hidden fellows around here. I spend a lot of my time with the associate class and do some work on the Outlook and the seminary catalog. But you do me good in your greetings as we pass each other on the campus, and we trust that this hour I'll be able to bring you something for you. I'm grateful to those who assist in the service, Dr. Jim Good. Commend him for the beautiful performance he did Monday night with the symphony orchestra on our campus. Dr. Ben Johnson, and we look forward to the Christmas program next month, the members of the chapel in Somla. We've asked them to sing a favorite anthem, Will McFarthen's beautiful music to this text of today, Isaiah 55, Ho, Everyone That Thirsteth. And David Cook will take the tenor solo lead. I've also asked the president of the associate class, Warren Grant, to come and read our scripture for us. May we hear it as he reads.
I read this morning from the 55th chapter of Isaiah. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat. Yea, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Wherefore do you spend money for that which is not bread? And your labor for that which satisfieth not. Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. Incline your ear, and come unto me. Hear, and your soul shall live. And I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. Behold, I have given him for a witness to the people, a leader and commander to the people. Behold, that shall call a nation that thou knowest not, and nations that knew not thee shall run unto thee because of the Lord thy God, and for the Holy One of Israel, for he hath glorified thee. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower, and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. For ye shall go out with joy, and be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth before you into singing, and all the trees of the fields shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorn shall come up the fir tree, and instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle tree. And that shall be to the Lord for a name, for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. I now read from the Gospel according to John, the 4th chapter. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. And Jesus saith unto her, Give me to drink. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, How is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. And Jesus answered and said unto her, If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith unto thee, Give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living waters. The woman saith unto him, Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence, then, hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well, and drank thereof himself, and his children, and his cattle? And Jesus answered and said unto her, Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water, springing up into everlasting life. May God add his rich blessings to the reading of his living and his holy word.
I've asked our choir to hold their anthem to the conclusion of our service, because I would like the service to peak or climax in God's word itself. Have you ever been thirsty? Perhaps you were on a march in the war years, or perhaps you were out playing or working in the field. We all know what thirst is, for next to oxygen is the most essential element of human life. Water is abundant in our land, but in Palestine, the land of the Bible, the land was dry and thirsty. And this unknown prophet of the exile used the physical thirst for water to describe a longing after God. It's a deep need within us. But God is a big word, and sometimes we shy away from it. So let's come at him kind of indirectly. We need meaning, don't we? What does life mean? As we search out beyond our atmosphere, we are bound to ponder and wonder man's place in God's creation. We are bound to search for the meaning of life. Also, in our time, it seems life is growing cheap, and we need a value put upon ourselves. What are we worth? Physically? Not much. Financially? Maybe. Prestige, fame, honor, even the greatest of us will only be a footnote in history. What are we worth? And we want to belong. We want to be accepted. We want to be a part. We want to be a family. Are these not intimations of that deep longing for God? And we search in many places, as a prophet said. We labor for that which is not bread, and we work for that which doesn't bring joy to us. Let me give you three illustrations. First, a bit of autobiography. As a youth, I was brought up in the church and inherited a faith. But as I grew, I had to wrestle with some of the problems about God telling Joshua to kill all those people and Jesus telling us to love our enemies. And it caused me great agony and great tumult. Finally, upon this campus, a fellow student said to me, "Jim, I wouldn't say this to everyone, but knowing your background, I dare you to wipe the slate clean and start all over again. See what you can believe." Well, it was a dare I took, rather fearful, but I took it. And I must confess, for a few hours, there was a sense of relief. The burden was gone. I didn't have to wrestle with the suffering in the world. I didn't have to wrestle with man or God. For there was no God. It was blank. But then I felt, well, I can do as I please. But within a few hours, I began wrestling with what did I please to do. What I had known all my life was good, and I didn't want to lose that. I wanted something more, not something less. And then I saw the alternative. And somehow or another, you never appreciate faith until you see that awful alternative. I came to a void, a chasm, dark and cold and empty. Without God, there is no meaning. There is no good, there is no bad. There's no value, there's no worth, there's no joy, there's no peace. Cold, dark emptiness. It wasn't not only before me, it was within me and all about me. And I did a strange thing for an atheist. I prayed. And you know what my prayer was? Oh God, please be. I didn't ask him what kind of God. I just wanted God to be. Because in him there was meaning and life and purpose and joy. And without him, nothing. Several years ago, we had a student in our associate class whose testimony has haunted me through the years, and let me give it briefly to you. He said his folks worship money. When he was 16 years old, they gave him $1,000 and told him to see what he could do with it. When he was 21, he was a millionaire. And then again and again, he had to have more and more and more money. And with the millions came the headaches and the agony and the loneliness and the frustration and the despair. One marriage broke up. He turned to drinking, to drugs, fast women, fast cars, beach houses, nightclubs, pills to wake up, pills to sleep, pills to keep going. Until one Sunday morning, he and a second wife were riding to the beach. And they saw a sign which said, "The family that prays together stays together." And he turned to her and said, "What does that mean?" She said, "I have no idea." On down the road, a little farther, they saw a church. And people were getting out of their cars, going into the church. And he turned to her again and said, "Why are they doing that? What do they find there?" And again his wife said, "I have no idea." He slowed and stopped, turned to her again and said, "Why don't we go back and find out? We are missing something." And apparently they found it. And that's what they did. He didn't know anything of God except profanity. He didn't know anything of the Bible. He didn't know anything of the church. But what he found there, the taste that he got that first session, created a longing for more. He asked, when was the next meeting, and the next meeting, and the next meeting? More, more, more. They gave him a Bible, and he started reading it, and he confessed that there was many parts that baffled him, but the taste was there, and he knew that was the source. And there he sat before me to hear more. The third illustration is from the Bible. from that Samaritan woman. She had tried it all, and it was all in vain. And the more she tried, the more people hated her, and more she was shut out. Until that day, she came to Jacob's well and met Jesus. Oh, that tender master reached out to her, unclean, spoiled, outcast, and showed her God's love for her, God's redemption. She tasted the water and cried for more and ran to all her friends for them to come to the living water. It's there, my friend. Apart from God, apart from Jesus, you may know of God as creator and judge, but you can only know the compassionate, loving Father through the compassionate, loving Son. It's Jesus that brings us to the Father. It's Jesus that gives us meaning. No matter who we are, he gives us value, reminding us that God is our creator. And if Jesus loved us enough to die for us, we must be worth something. He gives us purpose. He gives us destiny. He gives us joy. And let me say this word, kindly but firmly. Be not deceived, my friends. We will not be saved by being a preacher or a preacher's wife. We can be damned as much as any other mortal. The damnation is in our turning from the living fountain of life. When we neglect God, we starve, become dehydrated, burn out, despair, wasted, frustrated, destroyed. Life is in him. In fellowshipping with his word and the holy revelation given to us in the sacred scriptures, in the communion, the quiet prayers, the public worship, the singing and the praying together, in holy conversation with those who love the Lord and who seek to serve him. We will not be saved by our much talking or even our much doing. We are saved by drinking of the living water. Thirsty? Then come to the fountain, come to the waters. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. Buy wine and milk without money and without price. Come to the waters. Now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, the communion and fellowship of the Holy Spirit be and abide with us all this day and forever. Amen.